Good afternoon. Welcome to Forge Taurus SEA audio conference to discuss the results of the third quarter 2015. At this moment, all participants are connected in listen-only mode. Later, we'll start a session of questions and answers, and then further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during the audio conference, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. Before moving on, we'd like to say that forward-looking statements made during this audio conference concerning the business outlook of Forge Taurus and its subsidiaries and associates, as well as operating and financial forecasts, are based on beliefs and assumptions made by the company's management and also on information currently available. They involve risks and uncertainties because they refer to future events which depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could affect the company's future performance and lead to results that might differ considerably from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. This audio conference is being recorded and will be made available at the company's IR website later on. We'd like to inform you that here with us today we have Mr. Marco Aurelio Salvani, CEO, and Mr. Thiago Piovisan, CFO and IRO. I'd like now to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Aurelio Salvani, the company's CEO, who will make the opening remarks. Mr. Salvani, you have the floor. Good afternoon, everyone. For several reasons, this is a special day, and special because Taurus is turning 76 today, 76 years since its foundation, so it's the company's anniversary. Throughout all those decades, the company has gained considerable reputation, both in Brazil and abroad, specifically in the U.S., and more recently, we have been going through difficult times, unfortunately, but this management has had the privilege, I consider it to be a privilege, to be able to participate in restructuring this important company. And we are confident that this process will reposition the company where it should have never left. That is an important leading position both in Brazil and abroad, based on innovation, quality, good products. Throughout those past 2 and 3 years, in particular the past months, when the current management took over, more specifically July 1st, we have consolidated gains and made very aggressive decisions, I would say, to lead this process, which aims at restructuring and recovering the company's position. Our production levels today are twice as they were 1 year ago. And this was achieved through gains of efficiency, cost reduction, an increase in volume. Of course, I have to emphasize the reduction in cost. Our focus on quality has remained. We are resuming, actually, previous levels of quality, levels we should not have left. The faulty products which were out in the market are being recalled. We are taking care of that, working very closely with our clients to repair that. And with that, we are also regaining our reputation of a quality company. As for our manufacturing plant, we are now implementing a model which is very similar to the automotive model. My professional life has been always linked with the automotive industry on both sides of the counter, working at automakers and working with providers of car parts. So I can say that the automotive industry is well known to us, and for over a century has earned an image of being an innovative industry, and our product is or can be comparable in terms of a subsystem to automotive industry. It's made of steel, plastic, precision tooling, thermal treatment, surface treatment, precision assembly, large volumes, and so on. So very similar to the automotive industry. And so we have applied automotive solutions to our manufacturing model, to our manufacturing system, a system which is also known as Lean Manufacturing or Toyota Production System, which was launched by Toyota, which today, of course, Toyota remains as a leader in that process. But that model, 10 years on, this is a standard system for all automotive companies, all parts suppliers use that model. There is no getting around that lean system. So all systems today are based on this one I've just mentioned. That includes cellular manufacturing where parts float throughout the plant. We have waiting inventory, a new concept of operating management. We have crews made up of 5 to 9 people with a captain, a leader, not a boss, not a head, but somebody who's there to help and contribute with the team. At the group level, we have, rather than supervisor or hierarchical supervisors, we have supporting facilitator professionals. This way, we have managed to completely change the socio-technical dynamics within the plant. So we have managed to implement that in our plant, and we have now been reaping the results. We have also outsourced significantly to the extent that our company is quickly becoming what we could call an automaker, or a maker, actually. We manufacture and tool less or fewer parts, and we increasingly focus on products, markets, new technologies, assembly, and the integration of those parts and products. So a different approach overall. That has allowed us to increase production. As I mentioned, we have doubled production in the past year with very little investment, close to zero, because what we're actually doing, we are disinvesting in terms of older equipment. We have now focused on the most innovative, most modern pieces of equipment. And we are outsourcing parts and the initial tooling works to make up that process. So with that, we have managed to leverage, of course, added to investments and technological ability that we have that has helped the company move forward. And this also has benefited from the fact that right now in Brazil, unfortunately, the automotive industry is going through a very steep, severe crisis with a significant drop in prices. So several suppliers of the automotive industry who are very well equipped in terms of technology and funding, which use state-of-the-art equipment, who have a high level of idle capacity. We are now increasing, as I said, our production level. We have doubled, as I said. I'll go into detail later today. And we intend to double that number in the coming year, So in 2 years, we intend to increase our production fourfold, in 18 months, actually. And we are doing that without investment, as I said, resorting to outsourcing. Contrary to what one could think at first, that outsourcing is not implying an increase in cost. It actually is incurring in a significant decrease in cost because we are phasing out old equipment, and we're also bringing down production times. Those old pieces of equipment also had quality issues, and we are replacing those with state-of-the-art equipment. And that has allowed us to experience interesting cost reductions. Part of that model is known as just in time. In other words, we deliver what has been ordered. And with that, our inventory has been coming down. With our scheduling program, which will be further improved as we include the SAP system later on, with that, we have managed to keep up with a much more optimized production schedule. So the idea is that we do what is demanded. We deliver what's demanded. The quality, delivery, internal losses, we have seen good evolution in those indicators. And lastly, a very old concept, which also comes from the automotive industry. It was implemented in the first decade of the last century, the D model, the interchangeability of parts. In modern times, automotives were made by artisans, craftspeople, who worked on every single part of the car. That, of course, changed when in 1914, the Ford Motor Company managed to build a Model T per minute. That was over 100 years ago. That was only made possible when you had interchangeable parts. You could not assemble a car a minute if you did not have that ability. In other words, if you had to build a car by hand. Yeah. That level of coherence, of consistency, was only made possible because of that. Now, in our industry, the firearms industry, unfortunately or fortunately, we still have that concept of the artisan, of the craftspeople. But that's no longer the truth. It doesn't hold any longer. But today, with new modern tooling machines, with all the technical and technological evolution we've seen throughout the past 100 years, 100 and so years, as mankind is starting to use modern tooling machinery, that tooling technology allows us to have interchangeable parts also for our industry without needing to make further adjustments. It's what we see in the automotive industry, and that's what we're trying to do in our industry now. And that's another pillar on which we are basing our efforts to gain quality, increase production, and so on. Not all products, not all firearms enjoy that interchangeability quality, but many already can do that. And the new products, the ones in the pipeline, will also benefit from that possibility. Another important topic, if I may, is our transfer. We are moving some of our plants here in the Rio Grande do Sul. Up until 3 months ago, we had three plants, two in São Leopoldo and the head office in Porto Alegre. One of the plants in São Leopoldo, the older one, has been closed, and we have focused and concentrated all our activities in the other one. And on December the 23rd, next month, we will close activities here in Porto Alegre. And throughout Christmas and New Year's, where activity is usually low, we will transfer all our operations to San Leopoldo. To do that, that facility is being revamped, remodeled, and of course we are paying close attention to the environment. So under the sustainability aspect, it is spotless. There is no harm whatsoever to the environment. We are abiding to the most rigid environmental laws that exist. So one could say this will be a landmark in the history of Taurus, of the company. In a certain way, it might mean a rebirth of the company after a after a period of prosperity, of success, and then a period of some difficulty. Now we see something's changing. Internally, we have been referring to January 1st, 2016 as D-Day. D-Day was not the end of the Second World War. It was the beginning of victory. And throughout the past months, we are getting ready for our D-Day, which will be, once again, the beginning of our turnaround, the beginning of our victory path towards our objective of taking Taurus back to the place where it should have stayed. We will work in San Leopoldo with two shifts. As I said before, we plan to increase production fourfold with fewer associates working two shifts, clearly becoming a maker, an assembler of products. This would not hold or not be sustainable if we did not have new products. We know that markets are demanding. Consumers are increasingly well-informed or better informed. Markets are increasingly more demanding. And after long periods where not much was done in terms of new technologies, innovation, again, this most recent period, which was very difficult, we are now, as I said, resuming an uptrend process of innovation, new technologies, very much, as I said, inspired by the automotive industry. Our main launch in the coming year, 2016, will be a group of semi-automatic pistols. And within this family, we will have 12 different models with a high level of interchangeability, as I mentioned. And that level will be of over 70% of the components of the parts. There's no miracle there. If you observe the new modern cars, they all present a high level of interchangeability. They have a common platform from which they generate their different models to serve different markets and different needs. That's what we are doing now as we resume a stronger integration with our American subsidiary, Taurus International, which has a very important presence in the American market, which is a key market for our products. With them, we have developed a new process to create new products, also inspired by the automotive industry, and we have a roadmap for the next few years with joint launches using common platforms, which will allow us to reduce costs, investments, and deadlines. Deadlines for launching, of course. About our helmet plant for motorcyclists, I'm not going to take too long here. I'll just like to highlight that here, too, similar changes have taken place. Throughout 2016, we will consolidate the two plants we have, one in the state of Paraná, one in the state of Bahia. So we will consolidate operations in the state of Bahia with a production volume of 10,000 helmets per day. once again paying very close attention to the environment, to sustainable practices, and so on, just as we do for the firearms operation. As for the administrative process, we are very close to the go-live of the SAP, which is the leader administrative software in the world. Everybody knows or everybody has heard about SAP. It's a well-known system, a very complex system, also very complete, and also very efficient when it is very well implemented, which is the case for us. It'll be a very comprehensive implementation in our case. It'll cover all processes, all mechanisms within the company, and this is all taking place in a very short period of time. This first wave, as we call it, will be finished by January 1st. So the first wave, which includes approximately 80% of the system as a whole, the main basic processes are all there. Fewer processes will be left for the second wave. We expect that in another 6 months, at a fraction of the cost of the first wave, we will have concluded the process of implementation of the SAP system. So in conclusion, we are getting the company ready so that in 2016 we'll be much more competitive, much more robust, with higher level of production, more efficient, better management, much better management. So those are my initial remarks, and I'll turn the conference over to my colleague, Thiago Piovesan, our CFO and IRO. He will be talking about the financial results of the company relative to the third quarter of 2015. Thiago, you have the floor, please. Thank you, Salvani. Good afternoon, everyone, once again. And thank you for participating in our earnings call. Now, relative to the third quarter of 2015, we always remember that I'd like to remind you that the presentation is available at the company's IR website and can also be flipped through as we go through it. After the initial remarks by Salvani, let's go to slide number 3, where we have the first numbers. Those are the main highlights of the quarter. Those highlights generated the main results, events of the company in the period. As a confirmation, as it was said by Salvani, I'd like to highlight the increase in sales in the domestic market. Even with this difficulty in terms of politics, of the economy is slowing down, still the company managed to go forward and increase over 26% in net revenues in the internal market when we compare with the previous quarter. Consolidated gross margin for the company also grew in the quarter expressively, 4.3 percentage points up from the previous period. In special, that growth was driven by the firearms segment, where profitability grew more than 5 percentage points vis-a-vis the previous period. The margin growth, obviously not just because of the growth in revenue, but it also reflects this higher operating efficiency we are seeking and which has been materializing in the results. We can see better cost control, better processes, and of course, because we are a company that has over 70% of its revenue pegged to the external market and the U.S. dollar, we had a more favorable currency conversion, and of course positively benefits the margin, because especially the company's costs are in reais, are in the local currency. The combination of those factors, growth in revenue and growth in margin, along with a very strong expense control, in particular the company's operating expenses, have converted in an expressive improvement in the company's adjusted EBITDA, which grew over 62% this quarter when compared to the previous quarter, which already showed an increase when compared to the previous quarter. We moved from 20.3 million reais in the last quarter to current 35.2 million, even with a negative impact, where you can see on the right side, the impact coming from the update in provision for labor contingencies in the amount of 10.8 million reais. That was a negative impact. And as such, it has been deducted from the company's EBITDA. Also, as a reflex of the foreign exchange rate, on the one hand, the exchange allows us to increase our margin and improve results, get better operating efficiency. But on the other hand, it punishes us in terms of financial expenses because the company has debt in U.S. dollars. And that, of course, makes sense since most of our cash flow is in U.S. dollars. But our financial result for the quarter, because of the valuation of the U.S. dollar, showed a net financial expense of something close to 132 million reais, impacted by the exchange rate variation, of course, which reached in the quarter something close to 122 million reais. So most of the negative result comes from the U.S. dollar exposure. So those were the main highlights. Now moving on to slide number 4. We see the main numbers. It's a summary of indicators. Just a few highlights. We have already mentioned our net revenue, which grew 20.9% in the quarter and 71.8% when compared to the same quarter of last year, which underlines what Salvani said in terms of our ramp-up, not only on a quarter-by-quarter basis, but also on a year on year basis. And when we analyze the company's recent history, we can see it's a sizable growth. This year, we have reached the amount of 561.2 million reais in terms of revenues in 9 months of operation. That amounts close to 95% of all sales obtained last year, and we still have a quarter to go. Our gross margin this year is 29.5% or 8.3% up from the figure posted last year in the same period. Operating expenses, if we look at the operating expenses, has a strong impact of those 10.8 million for labor contingencies, as I mentioned, and it showed a growth of 10.5 million when compared to the previous quarter, basically driven by those contingencies. The financial result, as I mentioned, has been affected by the exchange rate, 131.9 million in terms of net expenses. In the 9 months of 2015, when you put together the exchange rate effect, the company has a financial result of 213.7 million negative, which implies a loss of 248 million on top of the contingencies, for example, including the Carter case in the first half. Moving on to slide number 6, we have a breakdown of revenue by segments, the firearms segment and helmets and so on. We have a highlight for fire guns, as I mentioned in the beginning. We grew in revenue at 24.7%, and today it amounts to 85% of the company's revenues. Last quarter, that percentage was 82%. So the improvement in the fire gun operation has impacted the final results, not only in terms of revenue, but as we can see on the side, also in terms of gross margins. In terms of revenue, the helmet segment dropped 2%, which was proportional in terms of the company's total revenue. That room was taken up by the firearms segment. The helmet segment is more sensitive to the national economic crisis. Also worth mentioning, the other segment, even though the absolute value is less important, but we can see a growth in revenue which was relevant, 45.8%, closing the period with 5.4 million reais in terms of net revenues. That growth arises from operations and bidding processes which we have won involving plastic containers which fall under the others segment. As for gross margins, we see a result of what happens in the net revenue box. The margin for firearms and others have a positive evolution as shown by the revenues, whereas for helmets, margins were a bit tighter because of a market slowdown and because of a lower demand. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 7, we have a breakdown of revenue by region. You can see that historically, market demand in the U.S., this is the period, the third quarter, where the American market as a whole reacts in lower volumes. We're talking about vacation, summer vacations. But even though we had that issue, we managed to maintain the volume in the American market. We have a growth of 11%, basically driven by the evolution in U.S. dollar. So sales were similar between those two quarters, which is important given that seasonality, which is normal, historical, as I said, in the American operation for the third quarter. As for exports to the other markets, the performance was superior than we saw in the previous quarter. We saw a revenue of 14.2 million reais, over three times what we had exported in the previous quarter. A highlight for the Asian market, which grew more than five times when compared to the previous quarter, amounting to 5.4 million reais in the quarter, and sales to Latin America, which also grew significantly, reaching 4.8 million reais in the quarter. Moving on to the next slide, financial results. We have talked about the main events, but just to review the numbers, we had a negative result of something close to 132 million reais, impacted mainly by the foreign exchange rate. Between expenses and revenue, we added up to 122 million reais negative in the quarter. The U.S. dollar at closing was higher, close to 4. So today we have a lower exposure in reais. Our debt have significant impacts on our results, and it is also very sensitive to the U.S. dollar rate. Whereas EBITDA and performance, because of the higher volumes, benefit from those when we look at a longer term. Today, to give you an idea, it's also part of the presentation, our financial debt, we have approximately 67% is somewhat exposed to foreign exchange issues. And that brings about this volatility in accounting results in the short run. Let's move on to slide number 9, operating expenses. They have shown an increase, especially because of the volume of sales. When we see the expenses with sales, it dropped when compared to last quarter, but nominally it's higher because sales were also higher. As for administrative expenses, we have a growth of approximately $2 million, driven mainly by the provision for labor contingencies, as I said, at $10.8 million, and a good part of the company's SG&A is in the American subsidiary, which is in dollar, and when we convert that to reais at a higher dollar, we have a higher impact in terms of expenses. And in this quarter, that foreign exchange effect translated into an amount of 3.1 million reais. Those are the main drivers for the increase in expenses. If we exclude those two non-recurring events, we would have seen a nominal reduction in the company's SG&A, which is one of our intentions and to bring more competitiveness to the company. The percentage distribution of the net revenue falls proportionally because we are going more than the nominal values seen in the expenses. Moving on to slide number 10, we have EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA. We see here that in the period, we are at the first line of EBITDA. The CVM concept hang the middle part of the chart. We closed the quarter at 28.8 million reais, which represents a growth of 138% when compared to the previous quarter, an expressive growth, and also a very consistent growth. The adjusted EBITDA, adjusted by the effects of the discontinued operation of Taurus machines and tools, again, those are non-recurring factors. They are not related to the company's restructuring process, which was mentioned by Salvanis in his initial remarks. So that adjusted EBITDA, which tries to measure the operating results of the company, that has evolved 73.4% quarter on quarter, closing, as I said, those 3 months ending on September with 35.2 million reais of adjusted EBITDA, a 16.6% margin. In the previous quarter, we had stood at 20.3 million, 11.6% margin. In the first quarter of the year, our EBITDA was 9 million reais. So this will be on the next slide. So once again, to reemphasize, we have a very high impact coming from contingencies, which has been discounted from the numbers presented. On the next slide, we can see the evolution of the adjusted EBITDA and those 9 million I mentioned for the first quarter. So we can see the trajectory that the company has threaded in the year. The average growth rate of the EBITDA starting last year, 148.3, almost 150% of growth, which is very, very relevant, and we are working hard to potentialize that level of growth. On slide number 12, we have the evolution of our working capital needs. This has increased with the total amount of money invested. It has reached something above 130 million reais, a nominal increase of something close to 60 million, more exactly 59.4. On the side, we have a breakdown by group where we have the higher concentrations for that growth. One of the main drivers of that growth is also the foreign exchange rate variation. Given the fact that most of those operating liabilities are filed under our subsidiary in the U.S., on the right-hand side in the bottom, we see the exchange rate effect on those liabilities, which brought an impact of 57.2 million reais, approximately 96% of the growth in our working capital comes from this conversion, this exchange rate conversion effect. We are managing closely our flows of payment terms for suppliers. As Salvani said, we are also closely managing our inventories, trying to speed up production and speed up sales so that we do not have to maintain high levels of inventory. So those are also day-to-day initiatives we have implemented, paying closer attention to receivables. So in terms of average term, we didn't see many changes. So impacts here are coming mainly from the exchange rate variation. Moving on to slide number 13, a slide that shows our indebtedness, our debt profile. We closed the quarter with our gross debt at 807.9 million reais, a growth of something close to 10% when compared to the previous quarter. And the highlight here is for the debt in U.S. dollar, which grew something close to 17% quarter-on-quarter, closing on September the 30th at 540.6 million reais. And also, it grew because of the strong appreciation, valuation of the U.S. dollar, as I mentioned just now. The other debt lines, the total amount, showed a slight variation, but they kept similar levels to those seen in the previous quarter. The availability for investment, that availability has seen a decrease of something close to 12% when compared to the previous quarter, which led the company's net debt to close at 694.4 million reais at the end of the quarter, up 15% when compared to the previous quarter. I'd like to highlight in the chart, in the bottom part, that profitability trajectory we're trying to tread. The company has working hard to improve indicators for performance, especially for the EBITDA indicator and also the net debt over EBITDA ratio. Even with the significant impacts of the U.S. dollar, which led our debt to grow in the past quarters, we can also see that our EBITDA level has grown more than that, which allowed us to leave some rates of 18 or 21.5 times we saw in previous quarter to close at 10.4. So it's a downward trend. So if we only consider the quarter, the 10.4 times, consider the last 12 months. If we consider just the quarter, the most recent period, if we were to annualize that number, we would be posting half that. Those are still high numbers, high figures outside of our target, but that downward trend shows the evolution of the process, showing that the path ahead in terms of performance and balance between debt and EBITDA is looking promising, and we are confident that we'll be able to build a more sustainable company with indicators which will be compatible with those of the market. On slide number 14, we have the schedule for our debt maturity. It hasn't changed when compared to the last schedule. We are still concentrated on the short run, and that's one of our major challenges, along with the moves, the process improvement processes, and the SAP and so on. The short term, that is also a challenge. So the reprofile of those maturity dates is also in our radar, and it will be part of the process of getting the company better structured in the short run. And the slide number 15, we have a summary of the main project. I don't want to repeat myself, but Salvani has underlined the main concepts. those represent important steps in the short run for the company to improve performance, to improve operations, and to improve management. In the restructuring pillar, we have several actions focused on the productive processes, on the quality of our products. As Salvani said, we are moving our Porto Alegre operations to São Leopoldo, and we'll then consolidate our process of being in a single facility to gain efficiency, quality, to improve our safety and security, and we'll be able to implement new technological and more advanced models. The revamped plant in São Leopoldo will use a new production concept, as it was explained by Salvani, much more updated, much more efficient, and which will count on technologies and state-of-the-art concepts, the LSAG, for example, to control inventory and so on. So we will have much more support, reprogrammed routes, inventory controls, different production phase controls. It will be much more agile, much more automated to reduce costs, to reduce losses, and also to reduce the capital allocation. Of course, if we are located in one single site, we reduce costs with transportation, logistics, and so on. Today, we see a lot of movement between São Leopoldo and Porto Alegre, so there are risks, there are costs, there are logistics issues to be dealt with, so this new structure will certainly favor our new position. So our new house, our new home, if you will allow us to make another leap in terms of performance and efficiency and production capacity for firearms. And as I said, the company will be better positioned to serve markets, local market, international market demands. Attention and respect to the environment will always be our focus. That's one of the main points in our mission. Not only the new facilities being built now are in close compliance with environmental demands, also, the facilities in Porto Alegre will be phased out with respect and attention to environmental issues. On December the 23rd, as Salvani said, we will close down the Porto Alegre plant, and we should resume production in January in São Leopoldo. So, new year, new plant, new life for Taurus and all its partners and associates. Another important process I'd like to highlight is the implementation of the SAP, which is under progress. The go-live is expected to happen in January. We are already integrating the SAP to the new facility in São Leopoldo, so the new plant already complies with this new model, and this will represent another major leap in supporting and in management for the company. Another important pillar, we included the financial restructuring, and that's the challenge we have here, which is to conclude our debt maturity dates so that we can better balance our debt with our cash-generating capacity. Results have shown an important improvement, and we expect to continue growing in the coming quarters. In this quarter, we have concluded an important process, capital increase. This was authorized in the end of September. We saw that in our statements that capital increase brought along something close to 40 million reais. And those resources will be fundamental to allow the company to carry on with the project of moving to the new facility, to ramp up the new facility, so that we can start this new phase anew. So I'd like to say to you all, we're going through a very special period, very challenging, with lots of changes, but at the end, I'm confident we will have more opportunity, and we'll be better positioned to distinguish ourselves in the market so that we can regain our place in the market, in the world scenario. We will have very intense periods coming on, but everything we're going through now, everything we're sharing with you now, will be a landmark for the Taurus history forever. This is a turning point for the company, and we'll remember this period forever. I'd like to congratulate Taurus and the Taurus family on behalf of the management, our associates, our partners, on the 76th anniversary. It's a long, beautiful story, and I hope we can have even more productive years going forward. Thank you all for participating in the call and for being with us today, and we now have some time for questions and answers. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, star 2. Well, we have received a question over the web from Walter. He asked 2 questions. I'll read the questions. Concerning the maturity schedule for the consolidated debt, I'd like to know how negotiations are going with the banks in terms of extending the profile, and if today the payment of the installments are in line with the schedule. Well, thank you for the question. Yes, that's one of the most important topics for us. We deal with this every day. Today, I'd say that the market in Brazil as a whole is a market which is very challenging for the banks in terms of credit. There are several issues which are making banks' lives more difficult, but we have been successful and we have been acknowledged by our partner banks in that we have been given the necessary conditions for us to strengthen our capital structure, for us to strengthen our cash generation capacity. The recent history of the company shows that the company, when we have conditions, when we have the time, when we can put in practice all our projects, we can make significant leaps in terms of cash generation. And that has, of course, underlined the negotiations with those banks. If we look at the company's cash flow, we'll realize that there is a high volume of payments and of borrowings every quarter. That shows we are rolling those resources in the short run, and that has been one of the main supporting drivers for the company today, being able to use a lower level of its cash flow to the benefit of the operation. In other words, to invest when it's necessary. So what I can tell you is that the company is working closely with those financial partners to build a solution in terms of extending our profile as soon as possible so we can have that done with as soon as possible so we have time to reposition the company financially. And we do believe that we will be able to extend that in a few months. We are negotiating, as I said, and we have received strong support. The installments which are maturing today, they are either being repaid or they are being renegotiated. The company is not defaulting on any of those. That's a source of concern for us. There's no default at this time. Thank you. Walter also sends a congratulations message to the company. Walter, our role here is only to execute the plans, the company's brand, the opportunities, the guidelines is what leads us to a good place. There's a lot to be done, but we are motivated. We are confident that this trajectory will be successful. Thank you for your congratulations. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. We are now closing the Q&A session. I'd like to turn the word back over to Mr. Salvani for his final remarks. Mr. Salvani, you have the floor. Well, since there are no more questions, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the call. And we are available through our IR department. Thank you very much. And see you next time. When I hope, we'll be talking from San Leopoldo, our new home, new life, D-Day coming up, a rebirth, and the start of victory. The war is not won, it's not over, but we have D-Day coming on, the first step of a winning trajectory. Thank you very much. We'd like to thank you all for participating. Have a nice day.